What's amazing about grace? You know the great hymn? We're going to sing it at the end, actually. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's by John Newton. Some people think, well, that's probably one of the most well-known hymns of church history. But do you know who John Newton was? He ended up actually as a preacher in central London, in Aldwych. He was the preacher that urged Wilberforce to go and see the abolition of slavery across every territory connected with England. But actually, he was a slave trader. He was responsible for the death of 10,000 people. But he came to a place of repentance and faith. And he turned and he spent the rest of his life fighting slavery and preaching the gospel of God's grace. So when he said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me," he meant it. Because he knew where he came from. And he knew how much God had forgiven him. He said, you can watch the movie Amazing Grace. He says, I live with 10,000 souls in my head. But God has forgiven me. I'm struggling to forgive myself. Grace is not just the beginning of a Christian life. As John Newton said, it's grace that brought me safe. Thus far, it's grace that will bring me home. Grace is a part of every step of the Christian life. I met one preacher once, and he said, grace, oh yeah, that's how we become a Christian, but we've left that behind years ago. No, grace is how you stand. Both Peter and Paul said, the grace of God in which we stand. And you see, one of the things we got to learn, we don't get forgiven and then create our own righteousness to stand before God, a holy God. We get forgiven and we receive his gift of righteousness. You can never be good enough. All of us have fallen short. But every one of us, whether we're 99% or we're 0.1%, we all need the grace of God. I remember, I think I've shared this before, a preacher saying he came out of a meeting with his big Bible, looking really holy. Does anyone know what looking holy looks like? It doesn't look like this. That's not holiness. Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness because he rejected lawlessness. Amen? It made him happy, living free. And this preacher stepped into a lift in this hotel where he was staying. He just had this amazing meeting. And three drunks come in and they're rolling around in the lift. And there's him in his suit. Back then we all wore suits. Some people want to bring them back, but I do for weddings and funerals, but nothing else. But no. And he thought to himself, it's a disgrace. Why do they let these people into this hotel? These people are a disgrace to themselves. And the Holy Spirit said to him, the only difference between you and them is my grace and my forgiveness. And then the Holy Spirit said, never forget where you came from. Never forget that he pulled you out of the miry clay and set your feet on a rock. So grace is the beginning point. Hallelujah. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Some of you goes, oh, it was my faith. But even that is not from yourself. It's, what is it? It's a gift from God. C.S. Lewis was asked, the author of Narnia, not Narnia, Narnia, God, I'm getting, said, what's the difference between all faiths and Christianity? And he mentioned just one word, grace. We're not trying to get the scales to tip this way. It's God's undeserved, unmerited favor towards us. That's amazing. Would you have chosen John Newton? I wouldn't. But it's God's undeserved favor, which is for all of us. You know, I found faith with long hair. I had a sort of hippie Bible, the Living Bible. Do you remember that one? And it had all these sort of hippies in. It was during the Jesus revival. And I just read the Gospels. And as I read the Gospels, Jesus came alive to me. I found faith. I found the grace of God. Do you know John Wesley? He was a Methodist, which meant he kept everything. He was very disciplined, very organized, very orderly. And he became a missionary to America and it completely flopped. And he came back totally discouraged. And he went to a meeting in London and he heard about the gospel of grace. And in his diary, he wrote, my heart was strangely warmed. And he found it wasn't his works, but it was the grace of God that brought him to Jesus. And he found God's total forgiveness. And he went on to change our country along with the whole Methodist revival. We see at the place of the cross that it is so amazing that the first person to receive assurance of their salvation was not one of the disciples. It was not one of the people that had been following Jesus for the 3 years of ministry on earth. It was a thief hanging next to him, a transgressor on the cross, someone who probably did very little right in his life. And he cried out, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus gave him an assurance, today you will be with me in paradise. He found the grace of God right at the end. He never had time to get dedicated. He never had time to be baptized. He never took communion. He never joined a church. But he found the grace of God. And I think in doing that at the cross, Jesus was saying, it's not by works, it's by my grace, through faith, that you can find me. Amen? Acts 20 says this, it's the gospel of grace, Acts 20:24. It's good news, it's the glad tidings, it's the declaration of the goodness of God. The grace goes further than forgiveness. You see, God could have done this. He could have said, I forgive you your wrongs. Now you just stay here on earth for the rest of your years. Try and be good. I'm not going to help you. I'm going to give you a few ideas of what you should do. Try and be a good person. But actually, the gospel of grace goes further than that. I think I shared it a few years ago. Let's say you came to my house and you stole, well, it's not much worth stealing. Let's say you stole the TV. It's about 8 years old now. If you're tempted, you can just, you can get a better model at some other people's houses around here. And I ran down the street and I caught you. And I took back my TV. And I forgave you. That would be forgiveness. But the gospel is more than forgiveness. The gospel of grace is I catch you, I take my TV, and then I forgive you. But then I say, hey, come and live in my house. Be adopted. I can say that now at 59, can't I? Come and be an adopted son, and you can have everything in that my family has now belongs to you. I'm adopting you as my child. That, friends, is the gospel of grace. He wipes away our mess, our sin. And he brings us into a relationship with him where God is not just God, he is our Father in heaven. I can call him Father. Just say to someone, wow. He made him. That's Jesus, who had never fallen short, never missed the mark. Sin literally means to miss the mark, not hit the bullseye. Jesus hit the bullseye on every account. And yet, when he hung on that cross, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He bore it all on the cross that we can receive his gift of righteousness. Hallelujah, Frank. There's a gift of righteousness. Now you can enjoy it. Be at peace with God. Be in a place where, yes, God will convict you every now and again, but you wear that robe. It's his gift to us. God forgives us, but God reinstates us. You don't have to wear that all sermon, Frank. It's okay. He reinstates us. We are reconciled to God. Amen. You could have had the phone, though, but there. God is incredibly generous. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for all of, for us all, will he not freely give us all things? I never knew my earthly dad. He died when I was 2. I grew up in a family where we can't afford it. And I have to be honest, when Silas was young, we would walk a whole block round Toys R Us to avoid it. But God is full of generosity. The Bible actually says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. I can honestly say, I grew up, we lived kind of hand to mouth, no father, but God has been good to me all the days of my life. Since that time, at 17, in a place of brokenness and chaos, I gave my life to Jesus. It says this, if you lack wisdom, ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. God is not a nitpicker. Amen. You know, when I get up in the morning and get dressed, Carrie will tell me, oh, you've got this there and you need to take, and you've got a bit of dinner last night on your shirt. Carrie's a wonderful, real blessing. But God, he wants to convict you certain things from time to time. He loves you just the way you are, but he loves you so much he's not going to leave you the way you are. We're always being changed by his work in us. But he's not finding fault. He's there to help you, to lift you in his victorious right arm. He's a generous God. You know, I love the way the Gospels bring out how amazing God's grace is. You know, there's this woman in the city in Luke 37. I haven't put that, but it says, and she was known as a sinner. Well, we don't know what she did. We can guess. But she was well known as someone that wasn't living in a good way. And yet God saw through all that. And she came and she washed Jesus' feet with her tears, with her hair. And you know, Jesus looked down on this woman and he was surrounded by Pharisees and the wouldn't sees and the couldn't sees, because God looks beyond the outward things and he looks at our hearts. And that heart of that woman was, I want you, Jesus. I want to receive your forgiveness. I want to receive the fresh start that you can give me. And Jesus said in verse 47, her sins, which are many, he acknowledged them, are forgiven, for she loved much. And then in verse 50, he said, go in peace. Your faith has saved you. One of the things I get asked, and I meet some interesting characters. I'm quite involved in football with my son, Silas. And I stand there, and recently he's been playing, I won't say which team, a rougher team. And it's, you know, lots of words, lots of interesting things coming out of the other parents' mouths, lots of tattoos and earrings. I think one has right through their head. And then they say, so what do you do? And that leads to some very interesting conversations. But you know, whether we are great in our sins or whether we were brought up in a nice Christian home, we all need to know the grace of God. Amen. He can forgive. He forgave this woman who had lived a life of sin and said, go in peace. Your faith has saved you. This is amazing grace. Amen. This is unfailing love. You see, how does God describe himself? People describe God in different ways, but when he appeared to Moses, it says this, he proclaimed to Moses there, and the Lord passed by Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, what is he? How does God describe himself? Merciful. And what? Gracious. Long-suffering. Amen? And abounding in what? Goodness and truth. That's the heart of Jesus, the heart of God. He longs, mercy triumphs over judgment. He wants to have mercy on us day by day. You see, he was provoked, it says in 1 Kings 21, to anger. It's a difference between, you know, someone says, oh, that's an angry teacher. I remember we had an angry teacher. He used to throw chalk at us. We'd end up with chalk marks on our foreheads. You'd never get away with it today. We thought it was great, though. It's my favorite lesson. Maybe we should do it here. No, maybe not. Just if anyone falls asleep, ding! But you see, God, it's not his nature, but he can be provoked. Do you see the difference? He describes himself as merciful and gracious, abounding in goodness and in truth. Don't provoke him. Amen. We used to have a teacher and he was a lovely guy, but we provoked him and he turned into a pretty angry guy. Let's remember that. Almost every epistle, every book in the Bible that Paul wrote begins with grace and ends with grace. Paul says, grace to you and peace from the God and Father of our and the Lord Jesus Christ. He ends the epistle, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Was that just a kind of good, nice, warm greeting? Was that nice message? No, I believe Paul, who he described himself as the chief of sinners, said, I am praying, I am declaring over you, Philippians, may God's grace be with you. Amen. You know, we have a whole movement about faith, but you know, grace is mentioned just as much virtually in the New Testament. Amen. Grace, not going to be much longer. Grace is how we can stay strong as Christians. Therefore, my son, be what? Strong. Often we say, be strong in the word, amen to that. Be strong in the spirit, amen to that. But it actually says here, be strong in the favor of God. Do you know, I remember when I worked under a church leader and he was pretty tough, he was pretty ruthless. And he would, when he came to me and said, I want you to know as you go on this mission, I'm totally for you. I'm going to pray for you every day that you're away. I believe in you. I'm going to believe God for miracles to happen. I'm going to believe God for, and he said, basically, my grace is upon you. Do you know what? God, when you know Jesus, his blessing is upon you. As you go to work, don't go, oh, I'm going to go to work. Oh, I'm fed up with work. No, the favor of God is on you as you walk into that place of employment, as you walk into Waitrose, as you walk into the neighbor's house to give them a cake. Be strong in what? The favor of God. Someone say to your neighbor, you have the favor of God in your life. Amen. Wow. It's the goodness of God that leads us to change our mind, to repent. That's what that word means. I grew up with all kinds of negative views about God. The God who was never happy with me, the God who was always wanting more and I was never good enough, the God who would, I felt constantly under this cloud of condemnation, but I had to repent because I tasted the goodness of God. And it changed me. And because I knew God's goodness, I began to live God's ways. Amen? The Bible says, for the grace of God, the goodness of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly passions. Do you know what that means? I'm so grateful. His grace, his favor has been with me. His love has been poured in me as it's been poured in you. And because of that favor, that grace, I don't need to get drunk. I don't need to take drugs. Illegal drugs, I'm talking about, just to be clear. I don't need ecstasy because I have the goodness of God in my life. I encounter God's presence day by day. the goodness of God, the grace of God causes us to turn away from things that are not of God. I'm not going, I mustn't sin. You don't know, because when you know God's grace, you don't want to offend a God who has loved you so much. Amen. The blessing of God, as it did with Obed-Edom. Some people go, well, that's just, blessing is just a spiritual thing. I can tell you this. God has blessed my marriage. God has blessed me in so many ways. Obed-Edom honored the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, in his house. And it says that all that pertained to him, all that belonged to him, was blessed. When you honor Jesus, when you honor his presence, when you honor his blessing, his grace, his undeserved favor on your life, I can honestly tell you, it doesn't just affect your spirit, it affects your children, your family. It affects where you work. You carry his goodness, his blessing. Pray for where you work. It affects where you live. That's why we pray God's blessing on our town of Newbury and Faction and everywhere else. Sorry, someone's going to say, you didn't mention Hermitage and Lambourne and Hungerford and everywhere else. Okay, please don't ride in. When we believe in Jesus, we come under the blessing of Abraham. And that blessing is now flowing to the ends of the earth. God says to Abraham, I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And in you, all families on the earth, of the earth, will be blessed. Galatians says, the blessing of Abraham has come upon the Gentiles. I come upon all who will believe in Jesus Christ. And that blessing, yeah, and you, that blessing is going to go all across. And this gospel is going to every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every ethnic group. When we know God's grace, we become strong and we become a blessing to the people we live among and we work among. Amen? The grace of God makes you everything you are. Some people say, I got saved and then I found grace. Sorry, I found grace and now I'm trying to be a good Christian. Paul said this, by the grace, the favor of God, I am what I am. Isn't that wonderful? And his favor, his grace towards me was not in vain. He says, I work more than all the other apostles. I work harder, but not I. But what? The grace of God, that is what? The favor of God when it comes on your life. I know missionaries working ridiculous hours in war zones, surrounded by chaos, and they look back and they say things to me like this, I don't know how I did it, but the grace of God was with us. The grace of God saves you through faith. The grace of God will keep you, cause you to say no to things that aren't right, because the favor, the grace of God gives you strength. Be strong in the grace of God. And the grace of God gives you privilege. You become a part of the family of God. God becomes your father. And the grace of God makes you what you are. I am what I am by what? The grace of God. Isn't that amazing? The grace of God sustains you. I end with this. It's the grace of God that brought us Jesus. For God so loved the world. Do you know what that means? It means every man, woman, and child is loved by a God who created them. Amen. If you love someone, what do? You give them gifts. Amen. I'm still recovering from Christmas. No, I'm fine, actually. Don't worry. But he gave his only son, his begotten son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. And I want you to just hear this in your heart. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, the world, but through the world, that the world through him might be saved. You know, the Bible makes it clear, I can't judge and look down on people because I have fallen short myself. And a lot of people go, yeah, amen. If Caroline was here, she'd go, yes, amen. But there's one person who is absolutely holy who could condemn and judge each and every one of us. That's Jesus. But when he came, he didn't come to condemn. He came to save. And at the end of his time here, he died on that cross. He took all, he who knew no sin, took our sin, that in him we can receive his gift of righteousness. That's our Jesus. And that's the grace of God. It was grace that saved you. It's grace that will bring you to the finishing line. Amen. We don't start in grace and then try hard to be good. It's by grace I am who I am. I don't deserve it. I could never earn it. I could never get it through my strength. But I can receive his gift. And every day of my life, I want to walk and receive more and more of his precious grace. Amen. Let's bow our head. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you. And like John Newton, I just want to thank you for amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us. Lord, many who, Lord, like me, would have seen that we've got to earn this. We've got to work it. We've got to do something in our own strength. But Lord, I pray that your message of grace and forgiveness, that whomsoever will believe in you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, help us to turn to you in these days of instability. Your good news still rings out to one and all. Amen.